We'll get started tonight. I have tonight what I'm going to do. You know, I've been talking the last couple times that I've ministered on Wednesday night. I talked about, you know, I'm on a quest to walk in the Spirit, to understand what that is, to learn what it means to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to have my being in the Spirit. You know, what's that look like? And, you know, for the most part, walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, is being more spiritually minded than carnal minded, okay? So, you know, not only in my personal life, but also, you know, what can we do for the manifestation of God to come into our services? You know, I'm looking for God's manifestation into my life. You know, how do I do that? But also in the services at church. And what I want to do is, I've got an exhortation from Pastor Brad Brady, and this was given back in April 2009. And this is this exhortation, apparently, when it was given, I don't know what church it was given at, but it was a fairly heavy anointing upon Brad as he ministered this. And for the most part, this talks about the presence of God in the, you know, in our lives and in the church. So what I want to do is I want to go ahead and read this to you, and then we'll make some, you know, we'll look at some scriptures that support some of the points, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. So that's kind of what I'm going to do tonight. Okay. So, and I do have this up on the overhead. So if you got there, Brianna, would you go ahead and pop it up? So again, this is an exhortation given by Pastor Brad Brady. Well, he's up in Alexander, Minnesota. He's been here several times in ministry. I think most of you know who he is. The youth ministry, you know, we take the youth to, he puts on the camp, youth camp, that we send the kids to. So anyway, we'll go ahead and get started. It says, we must learn to honor his presence. We must learn to respect him and fear him. If you desire to see the presence manifest among you, you must get to know him. Very few truly know him. They think they do, but they miss many blessings because they do not know him. We must learn that what true love is, because he is love. And yes, love can be strong and judgmental, and love can be rule. But love is also merciful, compassionate, and caring. And he is the full expression of what love is. Okay, you think because there's been times that you've chosen to act respectfully, to believe the best, you think you've done a great thing because you're acting in such a manner. But you do not realize that he's a full expression of that. He's the full expression of respect and of honor and believing the best, and that is why the Holy Spirit is so easily grieved. Because love does not display itself haughtily, love is not rude, it is not unmannerly, and he is the full expression of that love, the full expression of what true love, true manners are, the full expression of what it means to not be rude, and few come to know that. So, you know, here in this first part of this message, it talks about true love being what true love, if we know what true love, it's correlating it with knowing God, right? You know, and, you know, if we're walking in true love, we're walking in God, right? I mean, we'll look at scripture here. It says in 1 John, 1 John 4:7-8, and I threw verse 16 in because that's really where the punchline is, I think, in this particular series of scriptures. But beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. For God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So again, we're going back to the presence of God. You know, if we're abiding in God, right? You know, and God's abiding in us. So again, what I'm stressing here, at least what this first part of this exhortation is, you know, it talks about love. And it's going to talk about love for the most part throughout the... get back over here away from the speaker or something. But again, true love is, if you understand what true love is, you have a good understanding of who the Father is, right? So again, God is love, right? That's what verse 16 said. And another one, 1 John 2:3-5, it says, now we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And we know, and he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandment is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truth and love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Again, going back to love, you know, we've got to keep the commandments of God, right? I mean, that's how we are known, if, you know, by keeping his commandments, we're walking in love. And walking in love brings us to being abiding in him. Okay, you know, I kind of correlate abiding in the Father as abiding in the presence, in his presence. Okay, so here we're seeing, at least in this exhortation that Brad gave, love is a key part of knowing who God is. Okay. So what is God, or what is love, brother? You know, 1 Corinthians 13, right, the love chapter. But I want to look at verse 4-7, and this is what true love is. You know, and growing up, as the kids grew up, you know, every time there was a squabble, or a lot of times, we made them read this scripture, you know, so to speak. Instead of go sit in the corner, right, we would make them read this, and I know Tiffy, I'm sure, really appreciated that. But again, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now keep in mind, this is our Father. This is the true expression of who our God is, who our Father is. This is how he sees us, okay? You know, it's kind of hard to comprehend, to get our minds wrapped around that, but, you know, if we're wanting to walk in the presence of God, what do? We center up on walking in love, right? Okay? That's what I'm saying here. You know, in the early first part of this exhortation by Brad, it talks about honoring and respecting. Well, if you're walking in love, that it comes automatically, right? You honor, you respect. You respect the Father, you respect other people. So when you're walking in love, that honor and respect will come. Amen? So going on, it says, he cares deeply, and he wants to minister. He wants to manifest himself, and he wants to set you free, and he will allow you to stew within your state of ungodliness because he's not rude. Did you get that? He wants to manifest himself, but he's going to let you stew in your state of ungodliness because he's not rude. He's not going to barge in. He's a gentleman. He's going to be only go where he's invited, right? So going on to the next slide, but if you learn to respect him and to honor him, and he will be a strong arm and deliver you. He will set you free and bless you. But all that will be missed if you don't get to know him because you'll grieve him. So again, you know, if, what do we do that grieves the Father? And we'll talk about that in a minute. And let's go on. And because he is a full expression of that true manner, what true manners are, he'll not butt his way into your life. He'll not butt his way into your services. And so you must learn. You must learn. You will not see the manifestations of his presence unless you do. You must learn how to honor him. You must learn how to come into his presence with repentance. Hallelujah. That even my son, and you'll find it recorded in your, within your Bibles, but even my son, when people failed to honor him, his my presence, the anointing that I had anointed him with, was unable to manifest, and no mighty works took place. Isn't that true? That's exactly right. It's true. So, you know, of course, it says, going on, it says, you speak of revival. You desire to see it. You want to see the mighty works. You want to see the mighty, you know, see the lame walk, the blind see, and the dead raised. Then you must learn to honor, or there will be no mighty works. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. So, you know, one thing, what I'm getting out of this is, you know, if we're wanting the presence of God, one way for it to come is we need to honor the Father, right? We need to honor him and respect him. You know, what does our society teach us? What does it teach us? Look out for number one, right? I mean, driving down the road, let me get in front of you, you know? Okay, so our society teaches us to be rude and disrespectful. And, you know, at some point you get to the point where you don't realize that you're rude. You don't realize you're being disrespectful, right? And with that mentality or with that thought, you come into our services, and then now we're before the Father, which is a perfect representation of what mannerism is, and we're being rude. Not that we don't realize it, but you follow what I'm getting at? You know, just because of our of the society that we live in and our nature, we're feeding the flesh, we're not walking in love, we're being rude to the Father. Just because of our mannerisms, that's inherent in our behavior. Okay? So, you know, that may be one of the reasons why, you know, it's difficult or we're not seeing the move of God. So, I guess let me throw the question out to you guys. You know, what are some of the things that show disrespect and rudeness to the Father, to the Holy Spirit, you know, in our services? Anybody? What about talking to others during the service or not paying attention? Okay. Anybody have anything else? Being distracting. You know, let's say getting up and going into the bathroom or taking a phone call or being late. You're coming in late. Yeah, what you're focusing your mind on. You know, you need to be walking in love. But what about this cell phone thing, you know? Just, oh, let's see what's going on Facebook during service, you know. Or texting somebody, you know. That's being disrespectful, isn't it? Not engaging in praise and worship. That may be another thing. Interrupting the pastor, showing disrespect, you know, to the pastor or whoever's, whatever's going on. So these things are types of things that would be rude. You know, and I'm sure there's other things that we can probably name, but that's kind of a few things that I have listed. But again, keep in mind, you know, what are we trying to do? We're trying to get into the presence of God. You know, I mean, we're asking the Father for revival. We're asking, you know, we're praying for this country, you know, and for this country to really prosper and to move forward, we need a revival. We need the presence of God in our churches and in our lives. You know, anyway, let's go on. It says, does not my word say that the Holy Spirit that God sent to live in you yearns over you with a jealous love? Yearns to be welcomed. He's been sent to be all that you need. Let me go over here where it's a little bigger text so I can see it. He yearns to be welcome. He has been sent to be all that you need. He is a power that's in you that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you can ask or think. But he yearns to be welcome. You must learn to honor him. You must learn to honor him in whatever you do. You must learn to be led by him and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You know, if you're wanting to be led by the Spirit of God, I mean, that's walking in the flesh. That's the opposite of walking in the Spirit, right? So if you're wanting to be led by the Spirit of God, you know, what are you doing? Are you catering to the flesh? Are you putting your flesh under, right? So again, we see walking in the Spirit is opposite to walking in the flesh. So again, walking in the flesh will take you out of walking in love. I mean, isn't that right? So, you know, what does love do? In essence, love is believing the best. You're putting the other person ahead of yourself, right? You're believing the best. You're lifting that other person up. So how do we honor the Holy Spirit? You know, we walk making a conscious effort, not being rude to the Holy Spirit. What things do we do, you know, to not be rude to the Holy Spirit? Well, you know, again, this kind of goes back to what Leonard said, but I have, you know, what kind of TV shows are you watching? Are you watching godly TV shows or ungodly TV shows? You know, the Spirit of God's right there with you. You know, he doesn't be wanting to watch some of this stuff, right? You know, and the thing is, again, the Holy Spirit's a representation of the Father, and he's a representation of love and of true manners. So, you know, if you're not going to listen to him, you know, if you're being nudged and you're not quickly listening or quickly being obedient to what the Holy Spirit is telling you, well, he's not going to be sticking around to give you more direction, right? So that's another thing. So, you know, if you blow stuff off in your spirit, you know, that I feel like I need to do this, well, you just kind of ignore it. It's not going to be there next time. So, yeah, Karen. Well, that's correct. When it says in there on the slide, that's where Pastor Brad was speaking in tongues. So, okay. Okay, moving on, and it says, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Yeah, I hesitate to say that, Lord. Hallelujah. You think that you're ready. You think that you're ready for revival. You're not. And so you must get ready. And you're not any different than any other generation before you, because with each generation I've dealt with them. I've sent messengers to them, telling them to get ready, telling them to learn. And those that responded saw my presence. So again, you know, we need to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. We need to walk in love and get to know who the Father is, because there's going to be an outpouring here, a mighty visitation of God, and we don't want to miss it. Amen? Amen. Going on to the next slide, and it says, and so once again, we're at that place. We're at the threshold of a great visitation, but you must get ready. And it's not going to happen just because you think you're ready. you must learn, you must prepare, you must yield, you must get ready. So, anyway, we must get ready. So how bad do we want revival? How bad do we want the presence of God? How bad do you want to see people get healed? How bad do you want to come into the service and you see, you know, arms grow out? Just because you're in a service where the Holy Ghost shows up, your sickness and disease that's in your body disappears. You know, how bad do we want this? You know, it's coming. It's coming. But we need to get ready. We need to honor and respect the presence of God. We need to honor and respect the Holy Spirit. So what do we do? You know, in Micah 6:6-8, it says, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with a calf a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give him my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God." So we need to walk justly. We need to walk in mercy and humbly before God. So, you know, if we're walking in love, you know, by the definition of what we talked about in love, you're automatically going to be doing this, right? So again, you know, going on, it says, see, because revival, that's often spoke about now. Revival starts with you. Revival starts with the church. The church is what needs to be revived. The church needs to experience my presence. And then, and only then, when they are revived, they will take that power out to the world. Because now they're vessels. Now they're vessels that are fit for my use. See, you thought you could be a vessel fit for my use because you have gained some knowledge of my word, and you come stand, and you can stand on your great understanding of what you have, and think, I'm ready. Okay, let me start over. Wow, where do I start? You think you think that you could be a vessel for my use because you have gained some knowledge of my word, and you could stand in the great understanding that you have and think, I'm ready. I've been around. I've heard the word preached. I know what the Bible says. But that doesn't make you ready. It's an issue of the heart. Are you yielded? Are you repentive? Do you know me? Do you know me? So, again, who is the one that causes revival to come? It's us, right? We have to humble ourselves. You know, and before the Lord. And just like Micah 6:8 says, if, you know, we need to walk in love. We need to yield to God and other people around us. You know, so we need to be a vessel fit for the use of the Father. Second Timothy 2:20-21 says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of silver, of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some of honor and some of dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter," that's vessels of dishonor, "he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and set and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." You know, notice that we are the ones responsible for cleaning our own vessel. You know, God's not going to do it. You know, so we've got to clean ourselves. We need to set ourselves aside, right? It's up to each and every one of us as to what container we're going to contain, or what are we going to contain? Are we going to contain the Holy Spirit, or are we going to contain our desires, our flesh, the desires of the flesh? You know, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit and know God, the Father can use us as a part to spread the revival outside of these doors. You know? So I guess the question is, how bad do we want it? How bad do we want to see the revival happen in our lives and in this church? You don't even understand how many times the reasons my presence cannot be manifested is because of my concern for you. Because you could not come into my presence if I manifest myself in fullness, and you could come into my presence, and if you refuse to repent, it could cost you dearly. If you would try to draw attention to yourself, it could cost you dearly. And so often, out of my love, I have to withhold. So again, it's how are we behaving, you know, for the presence of God to show up? And so that's why you must learn, because I want to manifest myself. I want you to enjoy my presence, and I want you to be a vessel that my power can flow through to touch those around you, and so that the world can see and know my Son. You know, I'm thinking about Uriah. You know, when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem on a cart, you know, the mule, I guess, or the ox stumbled, right? And Uriah reached out and put his hand on the ark. Okay, that was a no-no. Well, that's an example of mishandling the presence of God. So, you know, I mean, if God shows up and we're trying to bring attention to ourselves, you might be a cinder. I guess that's all I'm trying to say. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, you know, for us to get into God's presence, we can't lift ourselves up. We must be repentant, humbled before Him. Otherwise, they say he can't manifest himself to us. And, you know, in 2 Samuel 6, 7 through 6, chapter 6, verses 6 through 7, it talks about Uriah in the cart. So again, let's learn to honor and respect God, and not to be rude to Him, right? You know, not only to Him, but the Holy Spirit. You know, if we're wanting to be led by the Spirit of God, if we want to be more conscious of the Spirit of God, we need to have, you know, we need to be respectful and honor the presence of the Spirit within us. You know, that's how it's going to happen. We need to respect and honor God's presence, and His presence will fill our services. Amen. Yeah, so it's time. It's time. It's time to rise up and be the light. Don't be salt that has lost its savor. Rise up. Oh, yeah. Because these are the days. These are the days that many have looked forward to. These are the days that I have spoken of within my word. And I will have my way. My will shall be fulfilled. The harvest shall be reaped, and Satan shall not stop me. But now the choice is yours. I have visited you this night by divine appointment, and I have spoken these things to you supernaturally, and so that you may know, would know. But the choice is yours. You know, hallelujah. Again, the choice is ours, what we do. You know, are we wanting to have revival? Are we wanting the presence of God to come into this place? So what do we need to do? The choice is ours. First of all, we need to walk in love. We need to understand what love is, right? Knowing God, knowing His Holy Spirit. Honoring and respecting God and the Holy Spirit and others. Another thing is we need to have hunger. We need to have hunger for the presence of God. You know, if you have hunger, you're going to do His commandments, right? His will. We need to do justly. We need to love mercy and walk humbly with our God. We need to be quick to repent, be quick to respond to the leading of the Spirit. We are the light, but that needs to go out into the world. You know, we are the vessel, right? And we need to fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit. It's our choice. We need to yield. We need to walk. We need to walk in love. You know, and out of the overflow is where revival comes from, right? You know, when you get out there outside of these four walls, if you're lit on fire and the Holy Ghost is all over you and there's rivers of living water flowing out of you, what's going to happen? It's going to affect everyone that goes that you come in contact with. And that's how revival starts. That's how it propagates. Amen? So, again, we need to walk in love. You know, I'm thinking, you know, driving down the way, you know, since I've been preparing this message, you know, driving down the road, it says, okay, God, how can I walk in love? You know, okay, guy just, cuts me off. Okay, what am I going to do? Father, bless him. You know, you don't get upset, right? You know, a co-worker at work says a few words, you know, that are run you crosswise. What are you going to do? You're going to think of, you know, I'm just trying to think of how do I walk in love, right? You know, how do I put into action what love is, right? Because, again, this is love is a full expression of who our Father is. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, we need to think about these things. You know, meditate on love. What is love? Endeavor to walk in love. Go back and read, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, you know, if you need to, several times. What is love? So, anyway, any thoughts? Because I want to pray here in a few minutes. Any thoughts?
It's keeping our mind on Him when we're hearing the word. Put your mind there.
That's right.
Not think of everything else.
Yeah. We need to walk in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are we keeping our mind fixed on? Amen. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Comments? Leonard?
Quite a bit of time seeking God, and I got into His presence, and actually, and one thing I learned, my heart has to be right to keep the presence, and especially in the area of love,
mm-hmm.
Like it's so easy to in my heart to criticize, or to think wrong thoughts. I could immediately feel the sense of the presence leave. And I had to quickly repent. I'd say, Father, forgive me, and I plead the blood and all that. And having a clean heart. And but now lately, what I feel too, a lot of times when I come to church and I'm overburdened with problems, I'm not walking in faith. And actually, I haven't spent time with the Lord, because if I would have, my focus wouldn't be on those problems. They'd be on the victory that He's promised.
Mm-hmm.
So much is dependent on spending time with Him. And and another thing is just like sometimes when I just worshiping Him in my heart. Anytime I've come up against like something that's a danger to me, I start worshiping God and loving Him just to keep my thoughts right.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, another thing you can do is when you're praising Him and worshiping Him, you're purposely giving attention to what you're saying, right? So when that happens, what happens to the thoughts, the evil thoughts that the enemy are trying to invade you with, right? But you can't. You know, they get shoved out, right? Because your attention is given to praising and worshiping God. So, you know, when just like you were saying, is when concerns, thoughts, you know, contrary to the word of God come to you, what do you, you know, you praise him purposely, just thanking him and thanking for healing, if you're dealing with healing. So that's another thing. So any other thoughts? Well, let's pray. Oh, Tiffany.
I'm impressed by how much it just must grieve the Lord to be in that situation. So if you think about a friend or a family member, someone who you care a lot about, and you watch them going through really hard times, and maybe they're doing something that's created that difficulty in their life, or perhaps you have presented them with something that can ease the pain or something that can make it better, but they're pushing it away or they refuse to hear you, and how much that just grieves and hurts you to see your friend struggling or see someone you care about struggling. Just thinking about that potentially being how the Lord feels, of knowing that he has something, his presence can be such a blessing to us, and
Amen.
It can alleviate so much of the struggling or the pressure that we're feeling,
mm-hmm.
and yet we're rejecting it or refusing it. And so thinking about practicing knowing our Father and practicing loving him and how that can in a way alleviate some pain that he might be feeling, you know, and how much I just love my Father. I don't want him to be grieved, especially by something that I'm doing or not doing. And it's just another motivator to be so diligent to seek my Lord and seek his face.
Amen. Amen. And so that's one of the things that I want to pray tonight. You know, it's really, it's an issue of the heart, really. At the end of the day, that's what it is. You know, again, as I said, you know, God wants to manifest himself to us. But, you know, in our lives and, again, in our society, our nature, how we walk, you know, we're being disrespectful in a lot of areas. We may not even know it. And, you know, that's one thing that I don't want to do is be disrespectful to my Lord, to the Heavenly Father, to the Holy Spirit. So, you know, that's been some of my prayers is, Father, show me how should I honor you? How do I need to honor you and be respectful of you in my all the time, basically in my prayer time, you know, and how I approach you and how I talk about you and in all these areas, right? So, you know, again, I'm just looking to get into the presence of God. I don't know, has anybody really, really been in the presence of God? Jim, what's it like?
It's different. Different times have been very different. There's been times where I was face down on the floor. I don't know if I couldn't move or if I just didn't want to move. But I wasn't going to move. And it wasn't fear.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't in danger. There was just such a presence of God. He was speaking to hearts, to my heart. And in those hours, sometimes it's been very, very deep, and I've had to meditate it on later to discern what he was saying. Other times, it's been driving down the road. It's been walking through a store.
Mm-hmm.
It's not limited to time or place or appropriate circumstances.
That's right. I mean,
it's
a lifestyle.
It's my heart.
Yeah, that's right. It's a lifestyle.
That chooses
to
respond to him. Yeah. That's what I have found the key for experiencing the presence of God.